Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
Burnsy, what's going on?
Not much, my friend. How are we doing today?
I want to give everybody some very important news for this show today. We have an exclusive interview coming up on today's show with the owner of the Arizona Coyotes, Alex Morello.
Yes.
Who still owns the Coyotes property, even though the team is moving to Salt Lake City. The deal has been agreed to with the Board of Governors. But we will have a sit-down interview with Alex Morello. And hopefully everybody will tune in and listen, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot to go over in this interview.
We got a lot of questions. Yes. We know you have a lot of questions. We will... As we always strive to do, we will do our best to ask him the questions we think you would want to hear answers to.
Yes. Hard but fair.
You know, and we will certainly do our best. But at some point, I would guesstimate within the hour, probably less than that, you will hear from the owner of the Coyotes, Alex Morello, because obviously what happened last night and now what's next for this organization becomes a key focus and something that everyone's going to be talking about, in particular when we get closer and closer to that June 27th date of the land auction up in North Phoenix and everything that needs to happen after that. So I'd love to say we've got a time. We will. You know, at some point we'll have a firmed up time and say it's going to be at this time. But Alex Morello, the owner of the Coyotes, will be joining us here on the Burns and Gambo show in what promises to be, I think, a pretty wide-ranging interview, a fairly long interview. And again, we might not be able to get to everything, but we'll try to get to as much as we possibly can about the sale and what's going on. And for what it's worth, it was officially announced today. In fact, let's not bury the lead. Let's tell you what our top story of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
Dayline New York, the National Hockey League's Board of Governors today approved the establishment of a franchise beginning with the 2024-25 season in Utah that will be controlled by the Smith Entertainment Group, which is led by Ryan and Ashley Smith. In addition, the board approved a plan that renders the Arizona Coyotes franchise inactive with a right to reactivate if owner Alex Morello has fully constructed a new state-of-the-art facility appropriate for an NHL team within 5 years. That's the release that just came down.
There's the news. It is out. It is official. It was emotional last night. I had tears watching Big Todd Walsh and Tyson Nash, and I had tears in my eyes as the finality came. For the time being, the finality for the time being, they won the game. I knew they were going to win that game last night. I knew they were going to take it to Edmonton. There was no way they were going to lose that game. Those players will now leave and relocate to Salt Lake City. This is a gut punch for sure for all the fans out there. And then we will wait to see if Alex Morello can deliver on the promise to reactivate the franchise within 5 years, coming back as the Arizona Coyotes, but with a whole new group of players through an expansion draft.
There's going to be a press conference tomorrow at 11:30 with Gary Bettman and Alex Morello. There is a quote from Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, in the statement that was released about 15 minutes ago. Quote, "The NHL's belief in Arizona has never wavered. We thank Alex Morello for his commitment to the franchise in Arizona, and we fully support his ongoing efforts to secure a new home in the desert for the Coyotes. We also want to acknowledge the loyal hockey fans of Arizona who have supported their team with dedication for nearly three decades. while growing the game, close quote. Again, there's a statement here from Alex Morello as well. I won't read that to you because Alex Morello is going to be joining us on the show in a little bit today. It was a very emotional scene last night. And
it was sad. I was so sad.
I watched that broadcast well until Todd Walsh concluded it. And as
I wanted to give him a hug.
Todd Walsh is, if you're listening, Walshie, you're a poet, man. You are more than a sports broadcaster. You are a poet. And your ability to literally write the perfect final chapter to this book, not knowing what sequel is coming down the road, it was perfect. And you felt for the broadcasters, you felt for the fans, you saw the fans wait around well until, you know, the game was long since done. The players, you know, congregated on the ice for a long, long time after that game.
Lawson Krause was there signing autographs forever, raising their sticks. There was an image of, I think, one of the, I'm not sure what they're called, but the cheerleaders, one of the...
Oh, she's bawling.
Just bawling as she's, you know, cheering for the team. And it was hard. It was sad to see. And now we put our hopes on June 27th and a land auction to see if we can get this sport back in the desert.
Yeah, and that's kind of what's next now. Again, there'll be more information that'll likely come out tomorrow. But I would encourage you to keep it right here on Arizona Sports because at some point, and again, we're still kind of ironing out the details right now. And I assure you, as soon as we have a finalized, firmed up time on when we're going to play this, I will let you know so that you can tune in to hear Alex Morello and what he has to say. After the game last night, Clayton Keller spoke.
Obviously, you know, I've played my whole career here. I've grown up here. I've been around so many, you know, great people who, you know, helped me succeed, helped their team succeed, you know, the trainers. It's just a special place, you know, in my heart. And, you know, there's a lot of emotions for sure, you know, thinking, you know, just about the future. And, you know, it's the last one, at least for a little bit in Arizona. So, we want to have a good effort and, show that to the fans.
Lauren, Mitch, Aaron, can I go with this time? We just confirmed 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock today is when we're going to hear from Alex Morello. Less than an hour from right now, you'll hear from the owner of the Coyotes. And it's strange for me to call him that, given the Coyotes are now property of Salt Lake City. But I understand... business-wise, the distinction here, you know, I get it. But it is strange to call him that, given that there is no hockey team to own. The hockey team is now in Salt Lake City, or will be in Salt Lake City.
No, there's a lot of questions that need to be asked. There's a lot of fans that want answers. And I promise you that we will do our very best to get you those answers. We will do our very best to get you the answers that you're looking for. Alex Morello with us in studio. That interview will come up in a little bit. And again, I just, you know, my heart goes out to all of those people that work with the organization. This is a tough day today. It's a tough day for everybody. And we feel for you.
Yeah, we do. And look, the employee element of this, friends of ours, people who we know who work there, it's tough. It was tough watching the broadcasters last night joke about, hey, if anybody needs a ride to the airport, let me know. You know, if anybody wants their palm trees trimmed, let me know. And then Tyson Nash jumping in with the I'm Uber Eats. Yeah, I'll be doing Uber Eats.
I want him to do 10 orders in a row now, see if he shows up at my house. How you doing?
Hey, look, everybody. Hey. Well, if Tyson Nash is doing Uber Eats, will he wear those fancy suits when he's driving the car and he delivers my food? Because that might be the price of admission.
He's used to making big money, so you can't give him a $2 tip, okay?
But more than anything, I feel for the fans. And, you know, this has been a fait accompli for weeks now. We've known this is coming through your reporting. We've known this is coming. There was certainly no surprise about the announcement or anything like this today. But you know me. I'm not as hardcore a hockey fan as you are. I've always had a kind of casual relationship with the NHL and the Coyotes, but that does not mean for a second that I don't, you know, respect the people who really do love this team and who really are truly devastated by what happened last night. I feel for. I can't even imagine what you're going through. It's so odd to live in a market this large with this many people and to think we lost this. You know, like we're, I'm it so sucks. Used to us gaining things and adding.
Gained football, oh, gained yeah. hockey.
Final Fours adding. Are coming here and Super Bowls are coming here and this event's coming and that. Wait, we're subtracting? We subtract
6 million
in
people.
Phoenix, Arizona. Right. That's not how this works. We're growing. We're one of the fastest growing communities, and we're so. I feel that, and I feel for the fans for whom this team. It's they said it all the time last night during the broadcast. The community that is hockey, and you could really see that last night. So again, Alex Morello scheduled to join us at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Here on the Burns and Gambo show, and you can be sure we'll be reacting to that when we're done with that. When we come back here on the Burns and Gambo show, we turn our attention to the NFL draft. Monty Austin Ford held a press conference today, and he was asked multiple times, move up, move down, what's the plan? So, what's the plan? Next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Hey, it's Wolf. NFL analysts believe the 2024 NFL Draft is the Arizona Cardinals' moment. So what do we believe will set up this franchise for years to come? We get going tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
All right, welcome back to the Burns and Gambo show here on this Thursday afternoon. And once again, if you're just tuning us in, you didn't hear our first segment of the show. First of all, welcome in. Secondly, Alex Morello is going to be joining us. And it took us a minute to kind of dot some I's and cross some T's. Alex Morello is going to be joining us at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So obviously we have many, many, many questions for Alex Morello after what happened last night with the Coyotes. And we certainly understand there's like two elements to this, right? There's like a business element and kind of how this is going to work and why this was made. And there's a very emotional element to this, too. And we understand and respect, if we're just being frank about this, how pissed off people are about this, right? We get that. We understand that. So we're going to try to do the very best we can to ask the questions and get the answers that we think you would want to know from Alex Morello after what happened last night.
Right.
So that's coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Alex Morello, 3 o'clock.
Looking forward to it. A lot of questions that have to be answered. And give you our word, we'll do our very best to get those questions answered. We'll be hard. We'll be fair. And hopefully we'll get a lot of answers about what's to come for the future of hockey in Arizona.
So the draft. Oh, yeah, the NFL draft. The NFL draft is 1 week from today. Everything, time is like going so fast and it's also slowing down at the same time. The first round of the NFL draft is 1 week from today. We'll be down at the Great Lawn, the BetMGM Sportsbook.
Let's go.
Our draft show. Looking forward to that. Monty Austin Fort held, and Jonathan Gannon too, held a pre-draft press conference today. We carried it live here on Arizona Sports, and he was asked the very simple question. We're a week out. Are talks starting to heat up? Here's what he said.
We've had talks with multiple teams, and multiple teams have checked in with us. And I think the way I look at it is like, guys, I love my house. I love where I live. Okay, my wife loves where we live. If all of a sudden there's a knock on my door and someone's gonna offer me something, and I'm gonna look and see what they're offering me. And if I open that up and it's something I'm not expecting. Hey, Shannon, let's go pack up. It's time to roll. Okay, so, you know, I think, that happens beforehand. It happens on the clock. But, you know, I think, you know, different teams have different motivations, but we'll see how this one plays out next week.
Did he get your permission to use the house selling metaphor analogy?
I think he got that from me.
Stole it right from the Gamble Library.
And my house, same thing. Everybody wants to buy my house and make me an offer, like, I would sell it. So if anybody wants to live in my house that me and Chelsea had been in and make me an offer I can't refuse and beautiful views of the mountains in the backyard, you can have it. It's for sale. Yes.
He was asked a follow-up, so would you trade three first-rounders for your house?
Three first-rounders for your house, would you move?
You might have to talk to Shannon on that one.
Wasn't it Bill Armstrong who once said that he would trade one of his kids for a draft pick or something, right?
Yeah. Yes, it was him. So what I can tell you right now is that there have been three teams that have spoken to the Arizona Cardinals about moving up in this draft. Okay, this is there's three teams that have had conversations with them. Look, there's always a price, whether the Cardinals have set that price or not, I'm not sure. There's going to be teams that, you know, that are going to call the week of. There's going to be teams that call the day of. They will very likely wait and see what happens. You know, one of the other angles is I'm sure that there will be teams that, hey, listen, just in case Drake May or Jaden Daniels is there at four, then we'll have a conversation. If not, then we're not. But, you know, that's another, you know, we have not discussed that angle. Like, what if something crazy happens and a Jaden Daniels or a Drake May is there at four? Then you will get different phone calls. So teams that would not talk to you for J.J. McCarthy at four may reach out to you now and say, by the way, if one of these guys does fall to four, we'd like to have a conversation with you. So I expect that that is happening now as well.
My favorite, I think, and I listened to most of the presser when I was driving into work today, I think my favorite question and answer, and you know, again, we've learned this throughout the years, these pre-draft press conferences, you got to be careful with them, right? You know, like how much actual information are you getting? How much of it, how much is actually being said? And how much of it is just a lot of kind of fluff because nobody wants to show their hand. If this is the right cut that I'm thinking of, I like this answer because somebody asked Monty, hey, look, right now, today, a week out, do you have at least an idea of what you'd prefer to do in the first round? Here was his answer.
I have an idea. Yeah. But I think really when that gets firmed up here is going to be over the next week as we talk through these scenarios. You know, I think up until this point and up until next couple hours when we polish out that last 5%, you know, I think it's about getting our board right. And it's getting comfortable with where both vertically and horizontally guys are on our board. And once we get through that point, then we can start talking about what different opportunities may or may not mean.
But yeah, he said right now, like I have a scenario in my head that I'd like to see, you know, and of course he wasn't going to tell you what that was.
Well, I think there might be trading down and trading back up, like what they did last year. I think that's a scenario.
Or yeah. I mean, or staying put and taking Marvin Harrison Jr. is a scenario. But I got to imagine, you know, based off of what he did last year, and you're starting to see more and more speculation about the one that you just mentioned, kind of the trade down, trade back up, you know, acquire extra picks, get the guy you wanted all along, almost a repeat of what I don't want to speculate that's what he would want to do right now.
Yeah.
But he kind of has an idea of what he'd like to do right now.
Look, last year they were willing to drop down past a certain point, but they needed to have enough in the trade to be able to come back up and then still be net positive. So they used the second they got to come back up, and they were positive a future first and a third. So they are, if they're willing to move down, it has to give them enough ammunition to come back up and still be net positive. Now, it takes two to tango. Last year, the stars aligned and they were able to do it. But anytime you make a deal, you've got to look at the worst case scenario and you got to be prepared that you may not be able to move back up. But I will give you teams right now that might be willing to allow the Cardinals to trade back up if they trade down. You ready? I've got some teams for you.
Please hit me.
These are the teams that the Cardinals could possibly move back up with if they move down.
Okay.
Number one, the Chargers. I know you like that.
Well, I like that. You know I like that. I feel like Kirk Cousins. You like that. You like that. I like that because that's still Marvin Harrison.
Except for the
Jr.
weird guy that said that to Caitlin Clark in that interview. Did anybody hear that? God, that was creepy.
Oh, I heard about that. I didn't hear it. What's wrong with people? What's wrong with people? When Kirk Cousins said it funny, when somebody said it creepy like that, the Caitlin Clark, not funny.
Oh, man, that was not funny.
I like the Chargers because one, that's maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. territory. And number two, I've long thought they're a team that might want to move down. Please continue.
I've got other teams. These are the teams that the Cardinals could talk to about moving back up. The Tennessee Titans.
The seventh pick in the draft. Tennessee's got the seventh pick.
They need picks.
Okay. Tennessee, assuming quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4 because somebody has moved up to four, at the very worst case scenario,
the third best wide receiver.
Third best wide receiver is available at number seven. At the very worst case scenario.
I'm going to give you two more teams that could be targets to move back up with. Are you ready?
Yep. Okay.
Atlanta.
They're the eighth pick in the draft.
Chicago.
Chicago's the ninth pick in the draft.
Those teams don't have many. Chicago doesn't have many picks.
Chicago barely has any picks at all.
Chicago might be willing to. So what I'm telling you is that again, if the Cardinals try to pull off the golden goose like what they did last year, you got to find a dance partner. It's not easy. Sure. Last year, everything was, there's no guarantee. Last year, the stars aligned. You got to be prepared for the worst case scenario, and that is you can't move back up. But the teams that the Cardinals would target to move back up, Chargers, Titans, Falcons, Bears.
That's 5, 7, 8, and 9. And of course, I don't need to tell everybody the risk of 8 and 9. 8 and 9. Potentially, you don't get one of the top three wide receivers.
But you could get at the top tackle or the top edge
rusher.
And we'll
talk about that a little bit later. Okay. We'll talk about how much of an option that is a little bit later.
Sorry, the show got thrown into a flux today. I really don't know where we're going.
Well, no, that's fine. You know what? I think it's better this way. We just keep you on your toes. You're in the dark. It's fine. You know, we like you better when you're just kind of reading and reacting in the moment. You don't know what's coming. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, how severe is the feeling that Minnesota is going to be first-round fodder to the Phoenix Suns starting on Saturday? The Minnesota newspaper is picking the Phoenix Suns to win in 6. That's how bad it is. We'll tell you next about all of that here on the Burns and Gambo show.
It's Suns Timberwolves in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs. Game 1 this Saturday from Minneapolis. Pre-game at 11:30, 12:30 tip. Listen to every Suns playoff game on Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
Anthony Edwards from NBA Today, the super uber talented two guard for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Speaking truth, the Suns have been tough for all of us.
I think we can go real far, man. It's just this series right here. We got to get this series right here because they've been a tough task for us the entire season. So we come out and punch them in the mouth and get this series and get it going, get it under control, and, you know, keep it in our hands. We'll be all right.
Yeah, there's. It's funny. You sent me today an article from, what is it, the Star Tribune?
Star Tribune, yes.
The main newspaper up there. Timberwolves versus Suns, position by position, matchup chart, who wins the series and why.
Ooh, let's go through them.
Well, I'll give them credit. I'm going to cut right to the end, and then we can go through them one by one. I'll cut right to the end, though. They say it's difficult to beat the same team 3 times in a season. What about a 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th? The 6-seeded Suns' big 3, KD, Booker, and Beal, are peaking and might be the last team you want to face right now in the Western Conference. Such is the Wolves' luck after such a breakout season. Suns in 6.
Suns in 6. All right, I want to go through these. I want to get your thoughts on this because one that kind of stood out to me, like, what is wrong with this point guard matchup? Mike Conley versus Bradley Beal. Edge, Phoenix Suns.
I have no problem with that. Was that the one?
No. Okay. Shooting guard, Anthony Edwards versus Devin Booker. Edge, Wolves.
Is that the one?
That's the one.
Is that the one? Oh, let's talk about this one.
Only
for a
LeBron
minute.
James, Michael Jordan, and Oscar Robertson have reached 2,000 points, 400 rebounds, and 400 assists in a regular season at a younger age than Edwards did in 23-24. Finch has praised Edwards' improved willingness to move the ball more, but the playoffs pressure will be the ultimate test. Beal's defense limited him on Sunday, but he gets the edge here because of his on-the-ball defense. They give Anthony Edwards the edge over Devin Booker at shooting guard.
I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you exactly what I think about it.
Okay.
I think that Anthony Edwards is the better player than Devin Booker. I think Anthony Edwards he's going to make an all-NBA team this year. Devin Booker is not. You know, at least I'm pretty sure Devin Booker is not going to make an all-NBA team this year. I think Anthony Edwards is. I think Anthony Edwards has had a better season. This is going to sound like a cop-out answer to everybody.
Yeah.
I do think Anthony Edwards is the better player. I just don't know if he has the matchup, if he has the advantage in this matchup because of two things. Number one, how badly he struggled against the Suns this year. And number two, Devin Booker's got a ton of postseason experience. And let us not forget, last year during the postseason, I know it didn't end well against Denver. Go look at every single playoff game Devin Booker played last year other than Game 6 against Denver. He was the man. Now, can he rediscover that? Can he find that?
I'm the man.
I haven't been super happy with how Devin Booker has played the last couple of weeks. I'll be the first to admit it.
Right.
Okay. But I think if I'm just going player to player, I would say advantage Anthony Edwards, too.
I give the edge to Book.
Okay.
I give the edge to Book over Anthony Edwards. All right. Small forward. Jaden McDaniels, Grayson Allen. They give the edge to the Suns. even though the Wolves signed McDaniel to a five-year, $136 million extension. His length, his defense, he shot 2-for-7 with 1 3-pointer in Sunday's game. So Jaden McDaniels, Grayson Allen, they give the edge to Grayson Allen. Power forward, Karl-Anthony Towns versus Kevin Durant, they give the edge to Kevin Durant.
Yep.
Center, Rudy Gobert versus Yusuf Nurkic, they give the edge to the T-Wolves. And then bench, they give the edge to the Wolves. Whether Karl-Anthony Towns stays in the starting spot or Alexander Walker or Reed return to it after Towns missed 18 games, Towns provides skills offensively. Alexander Walker helps if the Suns go small. Reed offers muscle, and he's a 41% three-point shooter. So they give the edge to Minnesota, and I would agree with that. So they give the edge to Minnesota with Edwards, with Gobert, and with the bench. They give the Suns the edge with Beal, Durant,
and Allen.
Yeah. There you go.
Make your case for Booker. I may make a case for Edwards. Make your case for Booker.
I think that Devin Booker's ability to be an elite scorer from the mid-range, from three-point range, is every bit as good as Anthony Edwards' ability to drive and get to the basket and score. They're both great scorers. I think Devin Booker's playoff experience is obviously better than Anthony Edwards. I don't dislike Anthony Edwards. He hasn't been able to step up and help his team in any of the games against the Phoenix Suns this year.
No, he hasn't. And you know, we've had a lot of conversations about this series, and you kind of know, I think you know how I feel about that. I feel like if you're counting on Anthony Edwards being bad over a seven-game series as the key to you winning a series, I think you need to figure out another way to win the series. I just think Anthony Edwards is too good of a player to count on being that bad game in and game out. Now, Kellen, and I, maybe most people on Planet Orange know this, I didn't until I read Kellen Olson's piece today on ArizonaSports.com. Anthony Edwards is 1-11 in his career against Devin Booker. I didn't know that.
That is incredible.
1-11 against Devin Booker. And Kellen almost wrote it as if, like, there's this impediment in Anthony Edwards' way to being the best two guard in the NBA, and his name is Devin Booker. Like, you got to be better than him. Your team has to beat his team. You have to, you know, almost like an all-star being on a winning team. Like, yeah, you might be a great player, but until your team wins, we're not going to let you on an all-star game. You look like the best two guard in the NBA, Anthony Edwards, but until you're better than 1-11 against Devin Booker, I can't put you there. I can't put you in that category. I fear that Anthony Edwards he's just too good not to figure out whatever it is that has been bothering him against this team this year. And I think at some point during this series, he will. And I'm scared of that.
Who's their second best player?
The Wolves' second best player?
So see, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're thinking about it. Should be Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, at times it's Naz Reid, who could be the sixth man of the year. It's, you know, Gobert's not a scorer. Like, that's the problem, is that if you're the Suns, you could focus on stopping Anthony Edwards. If you're Minnesota and you want to focus on stopping Booker, they've got Durant, they've got Allen, yeah, they've got Beal. It's a lot easier to focus on one guy than it is to look at three or four guys and say, how do we stop those guys?
It's a good point. And that was actually the centerpiece of Kellen's story this morning on ArizonaSports.com, that Anthony Edwards, he's and even he admitted, he's like a step slow in recognizing, I've got to get rid of the ball, I'm getting double teamed. Like, here comes the double team, they're collapsing on me. They've got a ton of shooting on Minnesota, good shooting on Minnesota. Get the ball out a step faster and trust your guys to hit those shots rather than kind of engage in the hero ball that turns into all the turnovers. He doesn't have very many assists. That's what I'm counting on. That's what I'm worried about. Not counting on. I'm just worried that over this week, he's going to start to figure out how to play a little bit faster to get the ball into the hands of other guys so that the Suns pay for those double teams that they send at him. We'll see. It's going to be, I think, Suns in six. You think Suns in five? Are you on five still?
I went six. I really wanted to go five because I seen them splitting in Minnesota. Suns win both here. And then up 3-1, I just don't know if Minnesota's got the moxie to fight back and win another one. But I'll give it to them and then have the Suns close it out in six.
All right. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the announcement was made just about an hour ago, give or take. The Coyotes, as Gambo has been reporting for multiple weeks now, are officially on the way to Salt Lake City. You'll hear what Gary Bettman had to say. You'll hear what the details of the deal are. And most importantly, we'll get you one segment closer to hearing Alex Morello. He is going to join us on the show at 3 o'clock. We're talking the Coyotes next on the Burns and Gambo show.
The Burns and Gambo need to know social poll.
Presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, again, Alex Morello scheduled to join us in studio, I might add, coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So if you want to stay tuned for that, because obviously last night's the Coyotes, their final game here in Arizona, at least this version of them, it's really resonating with a lot of people. The words of Todd Walls, the words of the broadcasters last night, the look on the player's face. We will hear from the owner of the organization, because today, about an hour ago, it was made official, and we'll tell you what that statement had to say in a moment. First, let's turn it over to the other side of the glass, where Mitch is standing by. He's got today's Twitter poll question of the day. Mitch, what do you got for us?
I left it open-ended today, and it felt like the only question I could ask, given the official news of the day. What is your favorite memory that you will take with you with the Arizona Coyotes?
Well, I'll just tell the one that I said on we did a video here at the station.
Okay.
When the Coyotes first announced they were moving here back in whatever year it was, 96, they brought in the Stanley Cup. They put it at the center of the ice at America West Arena, and they had an open skate. And my wife and I, along with thousands of other people, just ice skated around the Stanley Cup. And I think later that day, I bought my first Coyotes sweater, which I still have, with the Cochino logo that they were wearing last night. And I just remember thinking how badass it is that we have an NHL team in Arizona and how cool it was. That's it doesn't have anything to do with them or their a game or anything like that. Yeah. Just that's my I will think of that day and I will forever smile when I think of that.
On mine?
Yeah.
So one day after a game, me, Ash, Keith, and JR, we... Actually, I can't tell that one.
Did you see Bob McManaman's tweet last night during the game?
No.
Bob McManaman's writer over at AZ Central, he used to cover the Coyotes for the newspaper. Apparently, during intermissions, he used to go down and smoke with Nikolai Hobby-Bulin.
Way to blow your cover, Bob.
Bob's like, so, I shouldn't tell anybody this, but I used to go down and smoke Marlboro Lights with Nikolai Hobby-Bulin during the game and during the intermission. I'm like, jeez.
So one year, Jeremy Roenick's having this gigantic Christmas party at his house. Okay. I'm like the only media guy that gets invited. He invites me. I go to the Christmas party at his house. Valet parking out front, catered, unbelievable stuff. He's got this bubble hockey machine in his backyard. I'm looking, I'm like, man, this thing is freaking cool. Like, this is pretty cool. This, like, custom-made Coyote, like, you know, bubble hockey machine. Like, he goes, Gambo, dude, my wife hates it. You want it? I'm like, seriously, dude? He goes, yeah, take it. Like, it just takes some space in the backyard and she hates it. So I say, okay. He goes, just come tomorrow, pick it up. Like, I'm not going to be here, but just come tomorrow and pick it up. So I go, I get a buddy, we get the truck, we go over to JR's house. I'm walking out with this bubble hockey machine and like three cars pull up. Like, you know, like security guys.
Like you busted into his house, like you were
like,
robbing him.
I'm like, I don't know, I got permission to take this. Like, he didn't believe me. I'm like, I'm serious. I'll call him right now. But like, I'm not robbing this bubble hockey machine.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's
like he gave it to me.
That's really funny. I assume we've gotten plenty of responses on this.
Got a few responses. A lot of them are similar, actually. A lot of people mentioned the 2012 postseason run and the whiteouts at America West Arena. There's a nice picture here with Paul Bissonnette and a Jake Jeffries' family and his two kids. That's really cool to see. And then three from Undercaffeinated. He said, taking my son to his first game at 6 months old in 01. Every time we spanked Detroit, as an Avalanche fan, I fully support that. And then Josh Stone's first game, which was only a few weeks ago.
My second choice would have been the very first whiteout I ever attended. To this day, I've never seen anything like that in my life.
I told the people in Salt Lake today, I was on a Salt Lake radio station, I said, you guys better keep this tradition going. We took it from Winnipeg, we brought it here, and it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was some of the loudest
Some of the loudest noise I've ever heard in my entire life. All right, that's the poll question. Open-ended. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo, or X page, if you will. At Burns and Gambo, one word, is where you can find it. We are about 8 minutes away from a no-holds-barred, no-question-unasked interview with Alex Morello. There, I just saw a tweet that you sent out a second ago. No restrictions on this interview. We've not been told you can't ask him this, you can't ask him that.
We would decline the interview. We have not been told that we cannot ask about anything. So I just didn't want people to know there are no restrictions on the interview. If there were any restrictions, then we absolutely would have declined the interview. We would not have taken an interview with any distractions. So there are no restrictions. We can ask about why he wasn't there last night. We could ask about whether he could be trusted and where he failed and unpaid bills and, you know, all of that stuff. So we're not restricted to ask anything. Yeah. So listen, we will be hard, but we're going to have to be fair too, okay? Because this guy still has the keys to bringing back hockey to Arizona, and we do want to know if he's going to be able to do that or not.
And honestly, that's what I intend on focusing on quite a bit, is just how is this going to work? Starting with June 27th, the city of Phoenix, everything that needs to be done, how is it going to work in this five-year window that you've got? The league officially announced it today. There is going to be an 11:30 a.m. press conference tomorrow, I believe, in downtown Phoenix, in which NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman and Alex Morello are going to be there answering questions. I would assume Bettman is then on his way to Salt Lake City, to do a similar press conference up there, albeit with a very decidedly different tone. So that's coming up tomorrow at 11:30. The official release came down today announcing that, yes, the team is relocating to Utah. Yes, the board approved a plan that renders the Coyotes franchise inactive with a right to reactivate if owner Alex Morello has fully constructed a new state-of-the-art facility appropriate for an NHL team within 5 years. So you've got 5 years to build it. You've got 5 years to build it. And if you do that, we'll reactivate the franchise and you're back in business.
Mark says, is there a way to go back and listen to the interview? I'm about to jump on a flight, so I won't be able to tune in. Skip the flight, Mark. Skip the flight.
Mark, get on the plane.
Mark, don't get on the plane.
Get on the plane.
The plane, boss, the plane.
It's probably very important on the other side of the plane. Wherever you're going, I'm sure it's very important.
Unless it's Italy, then just go.
The commissioner of the NHL, quote, "The NHL's belief in Arizona has never wavered. We thank Alex Morello for his commitment to the franchise in Arizona, and we fully support his ongoing efforts to secure a new home in the desert for the Coyotes. We also want to acknowledge the loyal hockey fans of Arizona who have supported their team with dedication for nearly three decades while growing the game." You know, something else that I hope we get a chance to talk to him, depending on time, and that is, why is it every single owner of the Coyotes seems infatuated with building a whole bunch of stuff and not just an arena?
Oh, absolutely. Have to ask him about that.
It's always, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and it's going to have this and it's going to have that.
Why not just build a freaking arena?
Just build an arena.
Build an arena, have a hockey team, and let's go.
Bickley wrote about that this morning on ArizonaSports.com, and I thought it was a great point. Why are we, build an arena? Because you love the game and because you want the team to do well and not because it's all some giant real estate land mogul kind of deal. All right. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, you will hear from the owner, former owner. We'll see how to define it. Alex Morello, he will join us in studio next here on the Burns and Gambo show.